Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello again, everyone. This is Andrea with the Profitable Practice Podcast, and I am so pumped to have my friend Allison Chen on the show. She is one of those hustlers, but hustlers in a unique way, a different way than a lot of us healthpreneurs typically go for. She's a traveler. She's a blogger. She's starting a wonderful website that helps to collaborate all the great NDs in the area. And I just cannot wait to hear sort of about your journey, Allison, and how this whole thing kind of came about. Because typically what we see most NDs or nutritionists or whatever, we graduate and we just kind of think all we have to do now is open up practice and start busting our butt and growing a business. And you've taken such a different approach. So why don't you start with sort of what life was like, maybe approaching graduation and how things have kind of evolved from there?
Sure, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I graduated in 2013 and I basically wrote my MCLEX, passed, and decided I was going to take 9 months and travel. And at that point, my boyfriend and I were kind of on the rocks. We weren't sure what was going on. And so this was my moment of freedom to really explore and find myself and choose myself in terms of growth, spirituality, and also just knowing what I want out of the relationship. And probably, and I had nothing planned. So I wasn't, I mean, I had thoughts of practicing and trying to work at wellness centers, and I wrote a whole blog on traveling as an ND and, you know, my struggles with looking into places abroad and, you know, trying to book interviews and meet with people, but it was really difficult. I mean, I was traveling to Thailand, so Southeast Asia, and people wanted locals, people wanted to support their community. And they also, you know, the thought of hiring on a doctor sounds expensive and probably not necessary for what they were offering.
So can I just interject real quick?
Yeah.
Was your whole purpose for traveling abroad to legitimately start up a practice out there? Or was it more to learn from the people out there and kind of hone your skills?
It was definitely to learn. It was to hone my skills, to learn a bit more about the energetic world that I was not so comfortable and familiar with. And the concept was definitely to come back home and start a practice just like everybody, to kind of work the grind and build myself up as a clinician. So it was not, the idea was not to stay abroad
okay.
at all. And probably a month into my trip, my boyfriend decided that he was going to come, and he works online. He works with personal trainers to develop their professionally. And so he was flexible and able to just take off and work abroad as long as there was internet. And so he came along, and that was a bit of a surprise for me. I wasn't sure how to take it because, you know, our relationship was not set. It didn't have like a label or a specific definition. I didn't know where it was going. And okay. It was going to be for, you know, at least 6 months that he was going to be traveling with me. So that was a growing experience for sure. And obviously from that, we were engaged now. So it was a positive trip. But something that I learned when I was traveling with him was that he was working, and at that point, when he was in the middle of a big launch of a product, I wasn't really doing anything. I wasn't working in a clinic. I wasn't working in a health center. I wasn't using my skills in any way. I really wasn't online at all. I wasn't really blogging too much. And I felt lost. I felt like I needed to do something, keep myself busy, needed to give back to the community or do something with the skills that I had.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where, you know, the journey started. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I definitely was, you know, taking steps back and unsure and not diving straight in. But I decided that I was going to start blogging, that I was going to start figuring out this online thing and also looking to work locally in Thailand.
Okay, so we're still in Thailand now.
Yeah, and so then I worked for about 3 months at a holistic retreat center, and that was great, but it was very unsciencey, to say the least, mm-hmm. and it wasn't quite my fit. So I was looking for that energetic side, but it was a little bit too one-sided. And that's when we decided that, you know, he was doing really well online, and we decided that we were going to continue to travel. And so this was the point where I realized, like, I can't just mess around and, you know, wait till I go home to start practicing. If this is going to be our lifestyle, I need to make it work.
Absolutely.
So from there, I started building online products, or at least contemplating what I wanted to do. And one of the projects that was really great was called Daily Dose. It's not offered right now, but basically it was a tip a day, a health tip a day for the general public. So general information that everyone can use. And basically that was my best way that I could have possibly started writing blogs.
Okay, so this is all blogging that you were doing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, a lot of us start a blog. We write once a week, we write here and there, then it becomes once a month, and we lose our energy and our passion for writing. Because it's time consuming and there's not much, you know, there's not much reward immediately after writing something.
And you know what? I'm so glad that you're saying that, because I think that's the major reason why I avoid blogging. So with my very being, I don't like the writing piece, and it's exactly it. Unless you have like a lot of information, a lot of reasons to drive people to that website, blogging can be, if you're not going to stick it out, like anything else, it can be, you know, less than profitable in any way, shape, or form. So Keep going with your story, but I just wanted to interject that it's true. Like, people think, oh, you know, this blogger, they made a movie out of her, or you can make a book out of your blogs and this, that, or the other. But you have to do it for at least, I would say, a good year and have proper SEO and all of that included.
Yeah. So it's consistency. And I would say, especially with the online world, it's all about consistency, because things come and go so quick that, you know, you could write a good post and then a month later, nobody remembers you. So right. You need to be very regular with it, which is why the Daily Dose was such a great tool for me. And I say it was a tool because it wasn't a profitable product. It definitely has a potential, but it was more of a tool for me to write consistently. So every time that I put a little note for the Daily Dose, I would figure out what my talking points were for a blog. So, you know, I would talk about how water is important, how filtering your water is important, how the, like, testing the quality of your water, how much water to drink, why it's important. So I had all these talking points doing the Daily Dose, doing those daily tips, and then I could comprise an article out of those tips.
Right.
So that was basically last year. I spent all year writing. I would write 1 to 2 articles a week. And I really made it my focus. I made it my mission to give high quality, resource evidence-based articles that were not, you know, just fluffy 10 tips to be happy. It was like something that really had concrete evidence and important facts that people could use and really feel healthier. And they were lengthy. They were probably too drawn out and they weren't SEO specific and all that stuff. But they were a baseline for me to use whenever I wanted to write for another site, whenever I wanted to, you know, condense it into short, quick tips. They were a foundation for me to grow and to have people recognize my website for.
Awesome. And that's such a good tip for anyone who's listening too, is that you don't have to consistently keep pumping out new material. I reuse my material in exactly the same way that you do, Allison. I will take, like, if I wrote a 1600 word article, I will make a YouTube video on each paragraph, because each paragraph give something new for the viewers. Or exactly as you said, if you wanted to even make your article into 30 Twitter posts or 30 Facebook posts over the month, you do not need to consistently be making brand new content every single time. I mean, I've reused my articles in multiple publications for people that want articles. And it takes me it takes me like an hour to maybe reword it, reformat it a little bit for each publication, but I'm not going to spend hours and hours and hours pumping out, you know, 1600 word articles just so I feel like I did something new.
Right. And on the same line, you want to be known for something specific. It's good to niche yourself. So if you write all the time about, you know, wellness coaching, then you're going to be known as a wellness coach.
Yes.
If you start to write on so many various topics that people are kind of confused by your message, then it actually may not work in your favor.
Absolutely. So do you have a particular message that you feel that you're really kind of going with this year?
You know what? This year is very specific about easy, fun, and readily consumable health products. So what I'm doing is a whole series of books. And the first one that I've self-published is called What Your Poo Says About You.
Yes, congratulations. I saw that.
Thank you. Thank you. It has amazing illustrations by Jeremy Watt. He's a friend of my brother's who we collaborated on. And he's just done an amazing job turning my little poems and stories about, you know, reading your poo, if it's constipation, if it's diarrhea, what to do. And it's just a really fun tool that's easy to absorb, easy to read, and fun to pass around. So that's my main goal, is to make these easy consumable books that people are proud to share and proud to, you know, pass around to their family and friends to read to their kids. That's the whole concept.
Awesome.
For this year.
And as an author myself, people are constantly asking, like, well, why wouldn't you just do an ebook? So could you maybe comment on that? Why having a physical in your hand soft cover book is so much better than just pumping out an ebook?
There's nothing that compares to a physical product. It doesn't have to be a book, but having something in your hand that you can put on your shelf that reminds you, that brings you back to, you know, what the lessons are, is so critical. I mean, yes, of course, you can build yourself online and not have any physical products, but an ebook is passed. It's not really read thoroughly. It's, you know, put into the read later pile. And with a physical book, a person has to sit down and really have the intention to read it and go through it. And I think it just makes a whole difference. I mean, especially with your book, people can highlight and make notes and really get the takeaway points. With my book, it's a fun read, so it's easy to just kind of sit down with a kid and read it to them and then, you know, move on to the next one. But nothing compares to a physical book. I think ebooks are great to, you know, share with your friends or as a trade for an email or to like get yourself, you know, your first product off the ground. But a physical book has an intangible factor to it that people almost legitimize yourself with.
Absolutely. And I think in order to call yourself an author, I don't think you'd be able to do that unless you had a physical book that people could read. Like someone who pumped out an ebook and they called themselves an author, I really don't know if people are going to read that as 100% truth. And the more transparent and honest we can be, the more people are going to like us and trust us, right?
Yeah, I think they'd still be considered an author in my mind. It's for me, I don't have a specific definition of author is a physical book, but there's something definitely about the book that is a very different feel than an ebook, let's say.
For sure.
I think people can put a lot of energy and intent and good information into an ebook. And if it's that high quality, do create space, do something that's a print on demand and get your book out there, because nowadays you don't need a publisher necessarily to make a successful book. You can really do it on your own. And that's the direction that I took. I decided that I was going to self-publish it, get it out, get the next book up and going, and not have to deal with too many middlemen.
Awesome. So what is the sort of the print it yourself option? Because I'm just not familiar with that myself.
Oh, so there's a bunch of different companies. Let me see if I can pull up some of my notes. So I use CreateSpace and they work with Amazon. So basically, you go onto createspace.com, you upload your book, which is in a PDF format. They tell you, you know, all the sizes and things that you need. You can hire someone from their team if you need help doing a cover design or whatnot. And they put it up on Amazon on their Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. And you can also do it through extended distribution as well, which gets you into other places. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's an easy way because you can literally get it up. And as long as you drive traffic and get reviews on your page, you can start ranking fairly well. It's just that you don't have a publisher that is pushing your book for you. You have to do it yourself, which there lies in, you know, having a good network, having a website or a blog that's building in terms of audience, collecting an email list so that you can send a blast to your email subscribers saying, you know, I've come up with a book, please support it. And, you know, be known for high quality, good quality work.
Absolutely. So other than the book series, what else are you kind of working on this year?
So the other thing that I'm doing is a website called the NDDC, the Naturopathic Doctor Development Center. And we're close to our 1 year anniversary, which was, I actually published the website on my birthday in February. And it's been an awesome, awesome year. The site is steadily growing. We're looking for, you know, generating traffic that is organic and high integrity, high quality, and building a really solid community of like-minded practitioners. And the idea is that the site is to support NDs to be successful, whether it's in life, business, you know, balancing the various components of work, time, gratitude, all of those things. It has everything to do with how to become successful. And we bring in the best of the best, including yourself, to write for the site. And it's basically a large collaborative blog where everyone's supporting one another. And we're just giving really high quality information.
And could anybody access this site? I know it's naturopathic doctor based, but what if a nutritionist or a health coach or somebody wanted support with that? Would this site also be good for them?
100%. We have lots and lots of various practitioners, MDs to chiros to massage therapists to nutritionists. Lots of people benefit from it because we're all in an entrepreneurial mindset and we all are in a patient-based industry. So basically our time is equivalent to money. And so when we work our butts off, we make more money, but then we have less time for doing the other things. So my mindset is, you know, keep the things that you love and how do you maximize revenue in other ways that are either residual, passive, or just fun things that you want to do as a hobby to increase your maximum income.
Awesome. So why was this so important for you to create? And I think your now fiance really inspired this as well. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So Jonathan Goodman is my fiance. He runs the PPDC. So obviously there's a link there. He runs the Personal Trainer Development Center. And this is the largest collaborative blog for fitness trainers, and it does extremely well. It has lots of, I think it's over 200,000 Facebook fans for his page, and it's more than having a big audience. It's making a huge difference in personal trainers' lives. And basically, him and I, we believe in preventative medicine is the best medicine possible. Of course, we need reactive care for serious life-threatening things, but preventative medicine is really the key to health and success and vitality. And so we will do whatever it takes to support the industry because it's not necessarily supported by the government in terms of growing and flourishing. It's really a practitioner and trainer driven community. And so we are there to support it any way we can. He's got many products and books on the topic. He's extremely well written and well read, and he does a lot of speaking engagements. So if you have a chance, you should check his stuff out, as well as viralnomics.com, which is his pride and joy, his really passion project. And he's coming out with a book actually tomorrow, which is January 19th, and it's called Viralnomics. And that stuff is really great for anybody who's interested in the online world, interested in how things go viral, how things sell, what makes a person push a button, what makes a person buy something. And it's more about the psychology than about, you know, the Facebook button itself, because Facebook could change in 10 years. And the most important thing is the human psychology, because that doesn't change. Our need to show off, to show, to protect, to look like we're intelligent, to look like we're healthy and smart and fit, it never goes away. And so that book to me is one of my biggest inspirations. And he is one of my biggest role models for pushing the NDDC.
I love that. And I love that, you know, not too many couples, I'm sure there's a lot. I mean, my husband and I work very well together, but there's not a lot of couples that can work and play together. And I think it's so wonderful that you have both built your reputation and your lifestyle. And the other thing that I love that you said is you adapted what your initial goals were to suit the lifestyle that you both want to lead. And just so everybody knows, there was a couple minutes there where the audio wasn't wonderful. This girl is so cool. She's literally Skyping me from Costa Rica. And I saw her move her computer around, and literally, like, I had the most beautiful picture of a hammock and a beach and her sitting with like no doors or windows. So here I am in my office with, like, you know, all the clinical stuff around me, and like the environment you're in right now is so wonderful. And this is why I really wanted to promote the podcast, for the same reason that you guys are doing the NDDC, is that we need to have a place where NDs and healthcare practitioners and chiros and massage therapists can come together and read where, you know, our most vulnerable posts or audios, where they can read our most successful posts and audios. And I don't know, but I just feel like a lot of us just try to do it all on our own, and we just put ourselves into like our own little space, and we just hustle by ourselves, and we just don't connect. We don't know how hard it is for people that we think are just killing it out there, and people that are a little bit quieter. We just have, you know, it's such a wonderful thing that you guys are doing, and I really appreciate that I can be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you. And I also want to add to that, because you brought up a good point. You know, I'm very fortunate. I think coming out of naturopathic and medical school, a lot of practitioners are not confident to take a leap. I mean, having a big student debt, feeling like you need to get back in and start practicing, even having, you know, our license fees and our malpractice insurance, like that, all that stuff adds up. And it's easy to fall into the trap of, I have to get working and I have to take whatever is available to me right now. It's very difficult to take a step back and really think about how you're building your business, how you're building yourself as a brand, and how you can generate revenue from different streams. Many of us are females. Many of us, you know, get married and have babies right after we become practitioners. And like, how does that allow us to become full-time practitioners and raise a family effectively? It's sometimes one of those things that is a hard trade. Not everyone can do it with balance. And so the NDDC is really a place to help people, to set them up for success so that they feel like they have choice and they have control over their lives. Not everyone is as fortunate as me to find a companion who we can travel with, work together, and, you know, I can take a year or two to really grow my business and not make a huge income. Not all of us are that fortunate, and I get it. So that's why the NDDC is so important to me, and like podcasts like yours is so important, because it helps us get a leg up and to really see the bigger picture.
Yeah, totally. And just so I'm clear, what is sort of like your lifestyle right now? Because you're still an active ND, but you're traveling a lot. So my question to you is, how does that work with regards to seeing patients? How do you set that part up?
So the first, when I went to Thailand, I saw patients while traveling. And then when I came back home for the summer, I worked at a clinic and saw some patients. And then I realized, you know, traveling around and trying to build my clinics, so to speak, up while traveling was not the most, you know, smartest use of my time. If I saw, you know, a couple patients, while they're on holiday, then they'd be gone. And most of them weren't interested in following up with online Skype conference consultations, which I was hoping for would be, you know, that revenue coming in. But it's hard. People are on vacation. They're not really thinking about life back home. And when they get back home, life gets busy and they don't make it a priority. So I split my time. Basically, when I'm away, I focus 100% on the online business and building products. And when I come home, I see some patients either at home visits or in a clinic that I work in Toronto. So that's kind of how I've balanced it now. Who knows what's going to happen in the next few years? We're definitely, I mean, we're getting married in July and we're thinking of starting a family soon after. So I have no idea what that's going to look like. So far, I'm keeping all my licenses up to date and I love seeing patients when I'm in Toronto, but it doesn't work as well for me to work while I'm traveling unless I decide to come back to the same places time and time again.
Totally.
That would be, I think, the only thing that would really push me to start a clinic.
Right. Now, with regards to working with a lot of, I like to call us healthpreneurs, so us sort of in the trenches, what are some of the things that you have found that we need a little bit more guidance on or that people typically have the most questions about with regards to, you know, I wish I'd known this or, you know, I need to learn more about this. What sort of areas do you find that people need the most support with?
I think one of the things that I see a lot in healthpreneurs is not collecting emails. Because it's something that is easy, relatively easy. You know, you can use AWeber, MailChimp, some pretty basic email systems. But if you're at all interested in making ebooks and making products and having some sort of online presence or trying to figure out residual income, even if you have no idea what that product or that concept could even look like, having an email is that first level of trust. Whether it's from somebody who's seen your website and opted in or it's a patient who you've seen even 10 years ago, there's already some sort of relationship built that will allow them to feel comfortable to click on your product, to look into you, to read a bit more about what you're doing. And that's going to be your long-term customer. A lot of people don't see it as a benefit, you know, within the first 5 years of being in clinic. But I've had a lot of colleagues who've jumped from clinic to clinic, seeing lots and lots of patients, and then basically losing them as any kind of lead at all. And so something that's simple and something you can do today, I would say, is start an email list. Even if you just, you know, handwrite it or put it in an Excel spreadsheet, I feel like that's something that you will not take for granted later on. It'll be worth its weight in gold the minute you have any idea or concept of something that you want to sell or promote if you're going to another clinic. Whatever it is, I say, start an email list.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And the other thing I want to add to that is nurture that list. So it's one thing to build it, but again, just like you said about blogging, people want to hear from you. They want to hear cool content. They want to know how you're doing. And I know with at least my patient list, I can't believe how often I'll hear people that I haven't seen in years tell me, oh yeah, I've been constantly reading your emails and I so look forward to them. And now my dad has this. And now I was wondering if I could get him in. And it's been like 3 years. Or I moved from Oakville to Burlington and my Oakville patients are still reading my emails and it just isn't the right time for them at that point. But eventually they'll be like, oh yeah, I watched that one video that you did and this totally makes sense for me. And now I want to come in and do some extra lab testing. So, you know, exactly as you said, like write it down, write a plan and be prepared to execute. And I think more than anything else is stick to small little projects, but execute them greatly and it will greatly return for you as well.
Yeah, they don't have to be major projects. I totally agree. Small little baby steps is what really gets you, you know, if every day you make a conscious effort to do a little baby step towards your business, it can only get better.
And so what resources have you been using personally to really grow your business and all these different streams that you've been doing?
You know what? I actually use John a lot. Obviously, we're in close corners with one another, but I use him a lot for, you know, bouncing ideas off. I'm learning from what he's done. So a lot of the NDC growth has come from things that he's learned and that he's trialed and errored. But I also have really gotten into a lot of business marketing books, things that give you a little edge on psychology and the way that, you know, different ways to look at business. Because a lot of people think like business is slimy, business is like trying to trick people into buying stuff. But it's really changing the idea that you have something to offer and you'd be doing a disservice to not share that information. And there's so many people out there. There's so many people out there. I mean, obesity is an epidemic right now. Like, there's clearly enough people that we can help. And by putting your blog out, by putting your message out, even a Facebook post, it can change lives. It can change lives, and it can reach the people that maybe can't afford a naturopathic doctor, can't afford regular healthcare, can't, you know, are too physically far or disabled to go and see one. Like, it can really make a big difference.
I completely agree with that. And I feel, and I just know that there's some patients that have come to me and they felt like going to a particular clinic that they were just kind of put into a system, that they didn't feel that they were being listened to, they didn't feel that they were being cared for, and therefore they came to see me or they went to a different naturopath. And I feel like so often we also learn about systems, systematize your email list, systematize your clinic, do this, do that, do this, do that. And then we forget about the human aspect. We forget about why we got into this profession to begin with, regardless of which profession you're in. You know, we start getting so involved in, okay, the margins on this one is this, and if I sell this many lab tests, then I'll make this much money, or we start forgetting to put people first. And it's such an unfortunate thing. And it breaks my heart when I hear patients feel like they literally just got, I don't know the best word to use this, but they feel like they got almost abused by people that just took advantage of them. And that's never a place that's never going to help to grow your business, even though you made a grand off of that particular client or patient. They're never going to come back potentially. And bad word of mouth will always spread faster than good word of mouth. So kind of exactly what you're saying, we can't forget that we are here to inspire and change people's lives. And I loved what Megan Walker said in a podcast that we did a couple weeks ago, in that her whole reason for becoming a naturopath is to make sure that her patients achieve what they were put on this earth to achieve. And I just loved that. And that is exactly as you said as well, for people to start to trust you, and for them to start feeling gratitude and sort of that if you give, you get back, you know, tenfold from people. Just don't lose sight of that. Yet, like, yes, we all have bills to pay. And yes, you know, we all need to hustle. And yes, we need to kind of put our foot on this planet. But I think the mindset of how we do that goes so much further than just constantly thinking about money, 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 price, price, price. Like, don't forget about people first.
Definitely. And that will make you a happier practitioner. That will make you more successful, because you'll be bringing that type of energy to your patients who will refer and refer. And they are your bread and butter. You should be treating them like gold.
Yeah.
But also not necessarily taking everyone on and every single person that you can find, because, I mean, if they're not the right fit for you, you have to be honest with yourself. And if you can't deliver the best quality of healthcare, then you should be referring, and that in return will get you referrals back in other ways and build very respectable practice.
Absolutely. And even this afternoon, I had a patient call who lives in the Caledonia, the town that I own my practice in. And she was like, do you do fertility acupuncture. And I was like, well, I have done it, but it really isn't what I'm good at. And I really don't want to waste your time. So I know that there's probably people, you know, 20 minutes away that do it. Here's the one referral name that I do have. And if she's not the best fit, at least she can give you some better ideas. And she was like, you know what? Thank you so much for that. I was like, no problem. And just kind of sent her on her way. And, and again, that also builds trust because maybe she'll come back to me someday and she'll be like, yeah, so I'm getting fertility acupuncture with this person, but I heard that you're really good at detoxification. So I'd really like to stick with you because you're closer to home. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. And that's knowing yourself is so important when it comes to that. It's when you're under that, you know, just out of school, lots of debt, it's very easy to lose sight of that. But this is your career. You're not, you know, you're not doing a one-off patient. You're building your career to be fruitful and sustainable and vibrant.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be necessarily seeing patients in an office either. You can touch them in so many ways. And thank goodness for the internet. It allows us to do that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Any final words you have for people who are listening? Any final thoughts or ideas for inspirational steps that we can take?
I would definitely say check out the NDDC because there's twice a week, we put out new material, and it's always great and of the highest quality. If you're interested in learning more about online or the psychology of business and selling, on the NDDC, there's a really good article by Jonathan Goodman called Best Books for Naturopathic Doctors. So I recommend you check it out. There's, you know, his top 10 books that he recommends that really are the foundation to figuring out if online stuff is for you, and if it's not for you, how to implement it in the easiest steps possible. And in terms of, I guess, final words, it's really experimenting and figuring out what makes you happy, what gets you up every morning smiling, what helps you to share your talents. Because for me, especially, after I graduated and I told my mom I was going to go travel, it was like, what the heck are you doing? I had, you know, clinics lined up. I had people excited to come follow me into clinic, like patient-wise. And it was something, it was a difficult decision for me. And I had to listen to myself and say, you know, what's really important to me right now and what can wait? And what can I do to continue building myself so that when that time comes, if I ever do want to open a clinic, it's even at a higher step up. So it's already starting off better than zero, right? And so building this website, building the NDDC, I get lots of people emailing me trying to become patients of mine, and I have to turn them away, and I usually refer them to people in the local areas. And that's great. That to me tells me that I'm touching people, I'm reaching people, and even though I'm not seeing people in clinic per se, they're still reaching out to me and finding me. So the day that I, you know, the day that I decide to open a clinic or to be a part of a clinic, it's just going to be that much easier. So don't ever think that clinic is the only thing that we're trained to do, even though school makes it seem that way, because there's a lot of different ways to do it. And, you know, the NDDC highlights so many of these innovative entrepreneurs that are doing their thing in a major way and really impacting the world. You can do it one patient at a time, but you can also do it, you know, through the internet, through larger organizations, and really start that movement, because preventative medicine is the only way that we're going to, you know, heal the world and get us all healthy.
Awesome, Allison. And if people want to get in touch with you personally, what are some ways that they can do that?
You can email me at info@thenddc.com. And my website is drallisonchen.com. And also to check out my book, and it's drallisonchen.com/poobook.
Nice. And I will have all of those links as well on my website, which will have the podcast show notes, and that's maximizedbusiness.ca. But I just want to thank you again so much, not only for showing us what we can do outside the office and still have like a kick-ass life, but for also being brave enough to put together a site that brings naturopathic doctors together and other healthcare practitioners together so that we can really work as a community and learn from each other and grow and offering these opportunities. So I think it's really awesome. And kudos to your fiance too.
Yes, thank you so much.
And happy wedding.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's right after my birthday.
I know, 4 days, right?
I'm July 6th.
Yeah, and we're on the 10th.
There we go.
It'll be an excellent party.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you all for listening to another wonderful podcast on the Profitable Practice Podcast. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why I made a title with three P's. I think that's just crazy. Anyways, if you want to get in touch with me, you can always do that on my website, maximizedbusiness.ca. Definitely on Twitter, Facebook. I'd love to hear your reviews of the show. And as I said, I'll have all the show notes on the website. But I hope you guys all have a killer week. And this is Andrea, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.